This morning's scripture reading is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7, which is page 832 in the Church Bible. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
With us the scripture reading this morning. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you. It's good to be in worship. We're finishing off our fourth week in the series of being not afraid. Well, not afraid. The first week we looked at, Debbie shared with us the first week, and she said these things at the end, throughout her sermon. Whatever comes our way because of Christ, we are not afraid. Whatever comes our way because of Christ, we're not afraid. The other thing is, when the world grows darker, Christ's light shines brighter. Have you had dark times in your life where you've wondered where God is in all of this? We've heard sharing this morning before we came online. For those that are joining us on our FAS online community, our worship service starts here at 9 a.m. and we have a time of open sharing and prayer support for our church family. And there are a number of things that were shared this morning which we have prayed for, which would absolutely qualify as those dark times for the people that we've prayed for this morning. And there's also been praise points that we've prayed for and given thanks for as well. But in the midst of those dark times, we believe that we need not be afraid because Christ's light shines brighter. The second week, we talked about hope being contagious. And I said in that week that fear is contagious, but so is hope, love, and faith. And we are asked to be faith spreaders, love givers, and hope dealers. Last week, Debbie shared with us that those who know God's name often find it easier to trust his heart. And something else that we're often not that comfortable in sharing or knowing sometimes, and that is that God is ready to forgive. Well, this morning, as we look at this fourth week in this series, we're looking at when anxiety attacks. And sometimes it is an attack, isn't it? Sometimes it creeps up on us and scares us. I'm not going to share exact examples, but in our household, one of the things that I have been doing for the last 15 years is trying to scare my kids at every opportunity. Any other dads or parents done that to their kids? You know, hide behind a door or something and jump out at them? Yeah, not as many as it happens at our house, but it does happen at our place. And a proud moment happened yesterday where one of my children, not going to name names, Logan, actually joined in on that same scare tactic, and we ganged up on somebody in the house, and it wasn't Debbie. But we're not going to name names, all right? And I think he probably knows which side of the bread is buttered, because he's not going to take his mother on, but the other person who lives in a house got thoroughly scared, and it was quite entertaining. But it's often when somebody creeps up on you, that's what we're referring to here. When anxiety attacks, it doesn't come in the front door knocking, right? It doesn't say, "Yoo-hoo, any chance that you've got a spare moment for me to chat to you?" It creeps up on us and scares us. It creeps up on us and gets us unaware. And it can sometimes catch us and surprise us where it does come and capture our thinking. Well, there's one thing that we can say about 2020. It's uncertain. There's been uncertainty that has just been, it's drenched this entire year, hasn't it? Well, Debbie and I were going somewhere yesterday and we were in the car and I said, you know, it didn't start out this way. 2020 didn't start out this way. And if someone had said to you in January, when we were looking at the year that was coming, if we'd said that it was going to turn out the way that it has, most people would have said, no chance, no way. If we had said in January that by the end of March, before Easter, that there would be no people attending worship at the Salvation Army in person, most people would have thought I had gone a little bit crazy. Well, to go crazy, you'd need to not be crazy in the first place. So I'm never going to go crazy because I'm already there. Already there. But then if we said that not just nobody at Easter, but nobody in June either, and it would be 19 weeks of no one attending worship, you'd be like, are you serious? Are you for real? That there'd be people within our church family who would have experienced isolation like they'd never had before. That people that connected with our church family would have had to have their key life ceremonies and celebrations postponed, cancelled, shifted, brought back to the original date and, you know, turn around and sit down. You just don't know where you're up to. If we're talking about uncertainty, this year certainly hasn't got it covered, hasn't it? That familiar phrase, I'd love to go back to the familiar. I'd love to go back to what we knew. Well, the reality is for many of us, the familiar is now foreign and part of history because I'm not sure that we'll ever get back to the way things were. But one of the things that I am convinced about is that whilst there are changing times in this world, God is unchanging. Amen? God is unchanging. God is the one who never changes, and in the midst of uncertainty, He is the one certainty. His love remains what? The same. This passage that Sharon read for us this morning is one of my favorite passages. And I think we read this passage and we think, oh, that's nice. Rejoice always. Bring all your petitions before God. I want to put it into context, though. Where's the location of where he is when he writes this passage? He's in jail. He's looking out and his scenery, his landscape that he looks out upon is bars. And in the midst of looking at bars, he says, rejoice always. Again, I say it again, rejoice. What a remarkable viewpoint to have that whilst he's looking at jail cell walls and bars and chains, he's prepared to say, rejoice always. Let your gentleness be evident to all. These next four words I hold to a lot. The Lord is near. In the midst of prison, imagine having that sort of viewpoint. To be able to say the Lord is near. How many times have we been distracted by what God has for us this week? Or maybe we need to make a shorter list and we say just today, you know, or maybe in the last 20 minutes. Whatever it might be, we might be distracted. The thing is, nobody cares how holy we are, how many Bible verses we've remembered, whether we know them in Greek or Hebrew, whether we have a good understanding of the the story of Revelation and what they want to know is, how do we get through today? Now, we may use scripture passages to do that. We might, as scripture reminds us, the psalmist says, I have hidden your word in my heart. That when everything seems to be stress-inducing, that we find a place to find God's peace. This year has been filled with all different sorts of anxiety, including kids' entertainment, otherwise known as homeschooling. Wow, that is... I'm called to lots of things in this world. That is not one of them. Actually, if you're a teacher and you've made it past... How many long weeks did we have to do? 5 weeks. Seriously, 5 weeks was... And I was barely involved. And it's a remarkable thing to try to keep 2 children entertained, focused, all of those things for 5 weeks. And the fact that people have the gift and talents to keep them 20 kids focused for 40 weeks, I don't know how they do it. So God's blessing to those who are teachers online or in the building. That is my appreciation for what you do is went up tenfold the 5 weeks that we had homeschooling. It could be that some of the other stress-inducing things that we have are things that we are worried about a sick relative. We might have lost our job. We might be battling mental illness. We could be under attack for a whole bunch of different things. It could just seem like on every side we're being pressed in upon. Well, Paul shares with us in verses 6 and 7, don't be anxious about anything. Easy for him to say, he's in jail. But that would have been stressful in itself, would it not? But in every situation, by prayer and petition, present our request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts. You see, prayer and praise precedes peace. Prayer and praise precedes peace. Peace guards our heart and mind. Peace is our guard. The most common one-liner in the Bible is, do not be afraid. Someone counted it, and it's in there 365 times. One for every day of the year. And I didn't count it. I got the quote from a book called Falling Upward, A Spirituality for the Two Halves of Life by Richard Rohr. So if you want to... So don't think that I sat there and counted them, because I didn't. But do not be afraid, it appears 365 times, and I don't think that that's a mistake. The thing is, in our situation and in our existence on this earth, we often feel panic when we want to feel peace. Now, panic is a very strong term, but it could be worry. It could be an uneasiness. But we're still all looking for peace, aren't we? How do we have peace that guards our mind? We pray and praise. Prayer and praise are the pathway from panic to peace. Prayer and praise are the pathway from panic to peace. You see, peace guards our hearts and our minds. Peter tells his own version of this story and how to deal with anxiety. Cast all your anxieties, and other translations have said, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The devil is always swinging. It only hurts when we drop our guard. Don't drop your guard. The devil's target is our mind. His weapon is his lies. He'll say things like, you won't get through this. You can't pay that. You can't afford that. You're never going to be able to make anything. It's always, you're not good enough. You need to be better. You're not, and all of these other things. You're not strong enough. You're not good enough. Someone else is better at that than you are. If God really loved you, then they're all lies that we've been told, aren't they? How come you're going through stress and pain? If God loved you, he's obviously forgotten about you. Is that a lie that we've heard? Is that a lie that we've allowed to be spoken over us? Certainly it is for me. In the darkest of times, when we're just exhausted because of what we've been facing in life, we let our guard down. Maybe it's this simple one. You don't have what it takes. All we can do sometimes is pray. I shared this morning in my sharing before that I actually have nothing left to give in the situation that I asked for prayer for. And all that's left is to bring them before the throne of grace. There's a song that is written, and it says, the words say, Lord, I bring my friend to you. I've done all I can do. I bring my friend to you. Complicated circumstances have clouded their view. Lord, I lift my friend up to you. It's a song by a group, and I think it's Casting Crowns, I think. And I'll sort that out later for those that are looking for it. But we often are bringing our friends to God. Sometimes we think that prayer has to be something fancy, and we use prayer as our last line of defense when it should be our first line of offense. How we rebut the lies that are told to us is to bring God, bring it before God in prayer. Our prayers don't need to be fancy. They don't need to be just to bless the food or during a church service. They can be a real desperate plea where we come before God and say, I actually don't know the words, but I'm trusting that you are sovereign and you are God, and you can hear, as Scripture tells us, you can hear the groans of my spirit. Have you ever been left speechless because of a situation that you've been facing and you wondered to yourself, I actually don't know what to say? Most people would think that I'm never speechless. It's happened a couple of times. I pace myself. I usually got something to say. But there have been a couple of times, one I can recall in recent memory, where I was just speechless. I had not a word. I didn't even have a word that was going to add or detract. I had nothing. And it's in the midst of that, I had to come before God and say, nothing. Just be in his presence. Sometimes I think we have to, when we're asking God for prayer, we almost like send a text message expecting an instant response. And when he doesn't respond, well, he mustn't love me. Sometimes it's because I'm being too loud and not being still and quiet enough to hear them. May not be a story that you've experienced at your place, but it's certainly one that we experience fairly regularly at ours, We have teenagers in our household. They wear headphones. You call them for dinner once, thrice, 15 times, who knows? I think we only get to twice, don't we, Dol? Only ever twice. I'm often challenged when I have to go and repeat myself in that space. How often do I allow the noise of the world to drown out what God's trying to say to me? And does he get as frustrated with me? He doesn't, because he's God and he's love. But does he ever get frustrated with me because he's had to say it once, twice? If I've had to tell you this once, I've had to tell you a million times or a thousand times. We've said that to our kids, haven't we? Maybe it's just me. But God does that too, where he says, you're my child, you are valued, you are created on purpose, for a purpose. Too often I think we try to challenge this worry in our lives. When worry attacks, when anxiety attacks, we try to challenge it by saying, God, this is what I want. This is how I want you to work in this situation. Even when we are praying for rain, I get challenged by that sometimes because I think I'm coming to God with what I want rather than trusting that he is sovereign and he'll give us what we need. And I'm wrestling that still, all right? And I'm not saying that I've got the right answers, but I think it's about what happens for me as well. I'm praying that for a breakthrough in a situation, and I almost give God, you know, the to-do list of how he needs to do it, rather than trusting that I'm going to surrender my to-do list as well. It's often difficult. It's often difficult to be able to trust when we can't see where to take our next step. Who finds it easy to give God glory when things happen that are good? The tough challenge is to bring praise in the midst of the storm. There's not been many times in my life where I've been just thoroughly scared. But I won't lie and say that it's never happened, because it has. Debbie and I, on the 3rd of February 2011, experienced one of the cyclones called Cyclone Yasi. And we were the core officers in a town where Cyclone Yasi hit. And the kids and Debbie were downstairs in the only room that had three brick sides. And I was upstairs, and I've got to tell you, it seems to just, it gave a new meaning to that term, praise you in the storm. Because when the power goes out and you can't see anymore, and I didn't think I had a real good imagination, but once the power goes out and you can't see anymore, the sounds that are happening around you, it's phenomenal to be able to, in the midst of the storm, to say, I trust you, God. There were a few times when I thought, if you wanted to call it off, I'm okay with that. Like, I was getting to the end of my trust bank in that space. And real faith, I think, is stretched, tested, and grows in the midst of praising God in a storm. That we sing a song here, and we've sung it a number of times, that says, in the silence I choose to believe. I find that song so deeply confronting in my own personal life. Because do I? In the midst of silence, when I can't hear, are you still there? I can't hear God in that situation. I'm choosing to believe. It's an opportunity for my faith to be built. There's a chorus that we used to sing that says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord will be praised. I will bless God at all times, in the tough times and in the easy times. You see, prayer and praise, as I said before, are the pathway from panic to peace. What's happened to Paul? He's in prison. He's served. He's using his time in prison to advance the gospel. It would have been easy for him to sit in the corner and say, I'll just wait this out. But his, as it says in Scripture, he kept his cause being the cause of Christ. His cause was never about, well, I'm in jail now, I've just got to give up. No, he kept his focus on being in chains for Christ, because his chains meant that he could speak from a place of that spoke not just to those outside through his letters, but also he had an opportunity to witness to the whole palace guard. Praising God for blessings that others overlook is so critical and so important. Have you ever slowed down long enough to pause and see blessings that others go past? We, for 5 years, we lived in on the north coast of New South Wales, previous to living here, and people would come to visit us. And the same thing sort of starting to happen here. People would come to visit and they go, oh, it's so beautiful where you live. And you're like, really? Oh, it's just sort of like normal. Because it becomes part of our, oh. And yet with fresh eyes, people see it and they go, wow. You know, they can see the blessings of the way that God has created and crafted the world around us. And yet, when God's blessings are, whilst they're new for us every day, when they become part of our normal, we don't pause long enough sometimes to count them. We just expect them. Yet the reason we get the blessings of God in our life and the peace that he gives is because he wants to give them to us. They're not just a fait accompli. They're not just going to be there. They're there because he chooses to bless us because of his love for us. And so we lived on the north coast of New South Wales, and you could be at a place, and I don't know, can we get there now from the bubble? Yeah. Maybe, who knows? But if you ever get a chance to go down there, if the bubble ever bursts and we get to go places, there's a place called Pat Morton Reserve, which is just near Lennox Head, and you can look directly straight across to, and you can see the Byron Bay Lighthouse. Now, I've got to tell you, I drove that road most days, just drove straight past. And people would come to visit and they go, wow, did you see that? Actually, are you still talking about where I live? Because I've never seen it. I'm always going to the next place. But the challenge for us is that even where we live here, in our own lives, do we pause for long enough and say, I can see where God is at work? Because it doesn't just help our faith journey, it helps others as well. Sometimes we've got to look a little bit harder as well to find them, because there's so much other stuff. In the midst of this journey that we've had together of not being not afraid, our encouragement is to take our fear and turn it into our faith, and to allow our faith to be grown through that fear, to take our worries and allow them to be transformed into his peace, by his peace. Rejoicing in the Lord, I think if we're honest, we'd probably say rejoice in the Lord sometimes. When things are going well, that's when it's easy. But the challenge from Paul this morning is to rejoice in the Lord always. Why? Because he is near. Let's not be anxious about anything, but in everything, let's pray, let's give praise, and celebrate that the Lord is present. And in the midst of that, we will experience God's peace, which will guard our mind and our heart, and it will be more than we could ever ask or imagine. We could easily lose focus. But my prayer is that God would send his helper, the Holy Spirit, to come and to minister to you his grace in these days. We're going to sing in just a moment the words, Holy Spirit, rain down. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can know what God has in store. So open up heaven, open it wide over your church and over our lives. Holy Spirit, rain down. I invite you to continue to join us in the next few weeks. The next, I think it's 2 weeks, we're looking at being called and what we're called to as Jesus followers. And so that's our next sermon series, being called. And so I encourage you to join us in that. But as we sing together these words, Holy Spirit, rain down.